If you want to live like the 1%, you have to manage money like the 1%, not someday, but today. Most people don't have a money problem, they have a mindset problem. They don't track. They don't plan. They don't ask the hard questions. And because of that, they stay stuck, stressed, reactive, always behind. But the 1% do something different. They treat money with respect. They know where every dollar goes. They make smart moves every day, not just when things fall apart. This isn't about earning millions. This is about learning how to think, act, and move like people who stay ahead, calm, focused, prepared. If you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, tired of feeling anxious every time a bill comes in, and tired of pretending it's all okay, this is your wake-up call. In this audiobook, you'll learn how to manage your money like the 1% do, clearly, strategically, and confidently. No hype, just results. Let's begin. Chapter 1. Clean up your financial mess before it ruins you. You have to clean up your financial mess before it ruins you. That's the first truth about money that most people avoid. They avoid it because it's uncomfortable. They avoid it because facing reality takes courage. But here's the thing. If you don't take charge of your money, it will eventually take charge of you. And when it does, it won't be kind. It won't care about your dreams. It won't care about your stress. It will simply collapse everything you're trying to build. So if you're serious about becoming like the 1%, this is where you start, not by earning more, but by fixing what's already broken. You start by sitting down and looking at every piece of the mess. How much debt you've got. What bills are unpaid. How often you're spending without thinking. You write it all down. Not to feel bad, but to finally get honest with yourself. Most people walk around with financial anxiety because they never slow down to look at the numbers. They guess. They assume. They hope it's not that bad. But hope is not a plan. The 1% don't hope they know. They know where every dollar is and why it's there. You've got to treat your money like it matters, even if you don't have much right now. If it's a mess, it means you've got habits that need to change. It means you've been doing things without thinking. It means your spending is emotional, reactive, and often unconscious. The problem isn't just the bills, it's the mindset that created those bills. And the longer you ignore it, the deeper it gets. Start by being honest about your situation. That takes strength. Don't hide from the numbers. You need to know exactly how much you owe, who you owe it to, and when it's due. You need to know what subscriptions are draining your bank account, what expenses you can cut today, and what you're doing with your money that's not helping your future. Most people think they'll clean it up once they start earning more. That's a lie. Because if you can't manage $500, you won't manage $5,000. And if you can't manage $5,000, $50,000 will only multiply the mess. Money doesn't change habits. It exposes them. The 1% don't start by earning more. They start by getting clear, getting clean, and getting focused. Now is the time to draw the line. You don't need more income to take control. You need more awareness, more responsibility, more self-respect. You've got to stop the bleeding. Cancel the things you don't use. Track every expense for the next 30 days. Write down where every dollar goes. You'll be shocked how much you waste without noticing. That's the mess. It's not just about debt, it's the daily drift. It's that feeling of being out of control, and you don't even know why. Fix that. You also need to stop lying to yourself. Telling yourself you deserve that new thing you can't afford. That one small splurge won't hurt. That next month will be better. Those are the thoughts that broke your financial rhythm. The 1% don't think like that. They think long term. They plan their future. They avoid self-sabotage. They say no to temporary pleasure so they can build permanent freedom. That's what money is for, not for showing off, not for escaping life, but for giving yourself real control over your time and future. You've got to develop discipline not for the world, but for yourself. Because discipline leads to dignity. When you're in control of your money, you walk taller, you sleep better, you stop stressing every time your phone buzzes, worried it's another payment reminder. You stop feeling ashamed when someone asks how much debt you have. You take pride in your progress because you earned it by showing up for yourself. And this isn't about becoming rich overnight. That's not how it works. Real financial success is built slowly, quietly, consistently. It's not loud, it's not flashy, it's not exciting. It's responsible. And that's what most people avoid, responsibility. But if you want to live like the 1%, you have to think like them, and they think differently. They don't ignore problems. They solve them. They don't blame the system. They fix their habits. They don't live in denial. They live in data, clarity, and truth. So you start today. You look at the numbers. You look at your spending. You look at your income. You admit the truth. Maybe it's not good. Maybe it's embarrassing, but you face it anyway. Because the pain of honesty is better than the pain of regret. And when you start fixing your money, you start fixing your life. Your relationships get better, your stress drops, your confidence rises. Why? Because you're no longer hiding, you're no longer lying to yourself. You're doing the work. Cut the waste. Stop pretending it's okay to live paycheck to paycheck while spending on things you don't need. That's not normal. That's survival. The 1% don't survive, they build, they plan. They create margin. And you can do the same. You can stop reacting to money and start controlling it. You can stop hoping things improve and start making them improve. Make a list of your non-essential expenses. Be brutal. Be honest. Do you really need that app subscription, that extra food delivery, that shopping habit you use to feel better? Every dollar you waste today is a dollar you'll wish you had tomorrow. Don't wait until you're in crisis. Clean it up now while you still have the power to decide. If your finances are out of control, it's not because you're a bad person. It's because you've built habits that aren't working. That's fixable. But only if you stop ignoring it. Nobody will do this for you. Nobody's coming to rescue you. The government won't fix it. Your job won't fix it. Only you will. And that's the good news, because it means you're in control. Start where you are. It doesn't matter how deep the hole island. What matters is that you stop digging. And then you start climbing. One habit at a time. One choice at a time. You stop spending to feel good. You start saving to feel safe. You track your money daily. You hold yourself to a new standard, not perfection progress. The 1% live by systems. They automate. They track. They review. Every week, they sit down and look at their numbers. They know their income, their expenses, their debt, their goals. That's not boring. That's power. You need to build that system for yourself. Pick a day, every week, review your money, update your numbers. Ask yourself, am I getting better or worse? If it's worse, fix it. If it's better, keep going. The moment you take your money seriously, everything changes. You stop feeling like a victim. You start feeling like a builder. You stop wasting time blaming the past. You start investing in your future. You stop thinking about what you can't afford. You start focusing on what you can create. That shift from reacting to building is what separates the 1% from everyone else. And don't wait until you feel ready. You'll never feel ready. Start while it's messy. Start while it's hard. Start while it's scary. The longer you wait, the worse it gets. So decide now, you're done living in financial stress. You're done wasting money. You're done ignoring the numbers. From now on, you live like someone who respects their future. Because that's what managing your money really means. It means you care about the life you're trying to build. You don't have to be rich to take control. You just have to care enough about your future to stop avoiding the truth. Clean up the mess now before it gets worse. That's how you start thinking like the 1%. Not by chasing more, but by fixing what's already broken. Because if you don't fix the foundation, it doesn't matter how much money you make. The cracks will grow. The stress will multiply. And sooner or later, the whole thing will fall apart. Don't let it come to that. Clean it up now. Clean it up for good. Then build something that lasts. That's the difference. That's the mindset. That's how the 1% do it. And so can you. Chapter 2. Start treating money like something you truly respect. Most people never get ahead financially because they never learn to respect money. They use it, they spend it, they chase it, but they don't respect it. And when you don't respect something, it doesn't stay with you. That's why so many people earn and lose, year after year. It's not about luck, it's not about the economy. It's about how they treat money. If money is always leaving your hands, you have to stop and ask what kind of relationship have you built with it. Because if you treated your best friend the way you treat your money, they would have left a long time ago. Respect begins with how you think. If you see money as just a tool to get through the week, you'll never grow it. If you see it as something that comes and goes, that's all it will ever do. But if you begin to see it as something that deserves care, attention, protection, and structure, that's when things start to shift. It's not about worshipping money, it's about honoring it. It's about realizing that money, when treated right, can help you build freedom, stability, and peace of mind. When treated wrong, it will drain you, stress you, and ruin your future. Look at how you handle money every day. Are you careful with it, or are you careless? Do you check your accounts regularly, or do you avoid looking? Do you make thoughtful choices before you spend? Or do you spend first and regret later? Every small action is a sign of how you feel about money deep down. Respect is not a feeling, it's a habit. And most people have never built those habits because they've never been taught to. Start simple. When you get paid, don't rush to spend. Stop and think. Ask yourself, what's the smartest thing I can do with this? Not the easiest, not the most fun, the smartest. Respecting money means you pause, it means you plan, it means you look at your future and ask, how can I use this money to make life better later, not just easier now? That's a question most people never ask. But the 1% do, every single time. The way you talk about money also matters. If you keep saying, I'm broke, or I'm just not good with money, that becomes your identity, and what you believe, you repeat. The 1% don't speak like victims, they speak with intention. They say, I'm learning to handle money well, I'm building a better financial future, I make smart choices with what I have. That kind of language creates action, and that action creates results. It's not magic. It's maturity. Respect also means you stop playing games with your money. No more gambling, no more impulsive purchases, no more using it to escape emotions. People often use money to feel better. They shop when they're stressed. They buy things to impress people. They spend just to feel something. That's not respect. That's emotional spending. And it's one of the fastest ways to stay broke. The 1% don't use money to fix their emotions. They use money to build their options. They don't buy what feels good. They buy what moves them forward. You also show respect for money by where you put it. If your money has no home, it disappears. Money needs purpose. It needs structure. It needs direction. You can't just keep it all in one account and hope you'll make the right choices. That's like pouring water into your hands and trying not to spill. You need systems. One account for bills, one for savings, one for investing, one for fun. Give every dollar a job. That's what the 1% do. That's how they stay in control. They don't just earn well, they organize well. Think about how much effort you put into earning money, the long hours, the pressure, the stress. If you work so hard to earn it, why wouldn't you be just as careful with how you use it? That's where respect comes in. You start treating every dollar like it matters. Because it does. You worked for it. You exchanged your time, your energy, your focus to get it. So, it deserves more than to be wasted on random stuff that adds no value to your life. Start asking yourself better questions. Before every purchase, ask, do I need this? Does this help me reach my goals? Is this worth the work it took to earn? Would the future version of me be proud of this choice? These aren't difficult questions. They're powerful. They slow you down. They help you think. And thinking is the beginning of all change. People who respect money think first, spend second. People who disrespect money spend first and regret later. Which side do you want to be on? It's also important to protect your money. If you leave your bank account wide open to every subscription, every impulse, every emotion, don't be surprised when it disappears. You must guard it. Check your accounts weekly. Look at your spending. Look for patterns. What are you wasting money on? What can you cut? What should you change? This is how you stay in control. You don't wait for the damage. You look ahead. You prevent it. That's how the 1% operate. And don't confuse respect with fear. Fear makes you hide. Respect makes you plan. Fear avoids. Respect engages. You're not supposed to be afraid of money. You're supposed to understand it. Learn it. Work with it. Get curious. Ask questions. Read books. Watch how the best do it. Follow the habits of those who've built real wealth. They're not lucky. They're consistent. And consistency starts with respect. You also show respect by being grateful. When you get paid, feel thankful. Not just for the amount, but for the chance to grow, to build, to improve. Gratitude changes how you handle money. You stop taking it for granted. You start taking it seriously. You stop saying, it's never enough. You start saying, how can I make the most of what I have? That shift alone can change your life. Because the truth is, most people have enough to get started. They just haven't built the habits to make it work. People think they need to make six figures to start respecting money. That's false. You start where you are. Even with a small paycheck, you can build the habits. You can save a little. You can avoid waste. You can plan smarter. The habits you build with small money are the same ones you'll need with big money. If you don't respect $10, you won't respect $10,000. That's why so many people win the lottery and lose it all. They never built the respect. They never learned the mindset. And remember, money flows to those who manage it well, not those who chase it, not those who brag about it, not those who show it off, but those who handle it with care. You don't have to be flashy. You don't have to be impressive. You just have to be responsible, quietly, consistently, repeatedly, day after day. That's what the 1% do. That's what's possible for you too. Start now. Clean up your spending habits. Build a real budget. Automate your savings. Set up a clear plan. Make your money work for you, not the other way around. And most of all, remember that how you treat your money is how you treat your future. If you're careless with your money, you're careless with your future. But if you respect your money, you're showing the world and yourself that you're ready for more. Respect is quiet. It doesn't need attention. It just works, day after day, choice after choice. And one day, you wake up and realize you're not stressed about money anymore. You're not scared. You're not confused. You're focused. You're calm. You're in control. That's not luck. That's the result of daily respect. If you want to manage your money like the 1%, this is where it starts. Not with more income, not with new tricks, but with deep personal respect for every dollar, for every decision, for the future you're building. That's the foundation. And once you get that right, everything else becomes easier. Chapter 3. Make your income grow without working more hours. You don't get ahead in life just by working longer hours. You get ahead by working smarter, thinking differently, and building systems that grow without your constant effort. The 1% understand this early. They know that time is limited, but ideas are not. They know that income tied directly to hours is a trap if you don't evolve beyond it. And they know that to multiply their income, they need to disconnect their money from their physical presence. That means learning how to earn even when they're not working. The first shift you must make is this. Stop thinking that working more is the only way to earn more. That's the mindset most people carry. They say, if I want more money, I need to work more hours. But that belief keeps you locked in a cycle. Because no matter how many hours you work, you still only have so many. And if your income is limited by time, then your potential is capped. The 1% don't accept that. They look for leverage. They look for results that come from systems, not sweat. Start looking at your skills through a different lens. What can you do that brings value to others? What have you learned over the years that someone else would gladly pay to understand faster? Your experience, your lessons, your talents, these are your income builders. Most people overlook them because they think only big, flashy ideas create wealth. But the truth is, everyday skills turned into products, services, or scalable offerings can grow income beyond anything you do at a 9-to-5 job. Think about it this way. If you can solve a problem for someone once, and they pay you for it, that's good. But if you can turn that solution into something that works again and again without your time attached to each transaction, you've just built leverage. That could be a digital product, an online course, a service with a team, or a system that earns while you sleep. This isn't fantasy, it's strategy. The people who break out financially are the ones who stop exchanging time and start creating value at scale. You need to become a creator of income, not just an earner of income. Earning means showing up and getting paid. Creating means building something that keeps working after you walk away. That's the difference between those who stay stuck and those who rise. You don't have to be a genius. You just need to be intentional. What do people ask your help with? What problems do you solve easily that others struggle with? What could you build once that others would pay to access regularly? You can also grow your income by using money the right way. Every dollar you save can be turned into a worker. You don't have to keep doing everything yourself. You can invest. You can put money into things that grow without your involvement. You can buy assets that pay. That might be stocks, index funds, real estate, or small business ideas, whatever fits your level of understanding and risk. The key is to stop letting your money sit and start letting it work. But to do that, you have to stop spending everything you earn. If all your money goes toward your lifestyle, there's nothing left to grow. The 1% don't just live below their means, they reinvest the gap. They use that gap to create more opportunity. While most people upgrade their car or take another vacation with every raise, the 1% buy time, buy assets, buy control. That's how they escape the grind. Not overnight, slowly, quietly, consistently. You also need to think about skill stacking. You don't have to be the best in the world at one thing. But if you combine a few solid skills, you become valuable in ways others aren't. Maybe you're decent at writing and also good at sales, or maybe you understand tech and also have a creative eye. These combinations can open doors. They can lead to freelance work, consulting, side projects, or your own business. The more useful you become, the more income opportunities you unlock. Without working more hours. Automation is another game changer. The 1% automate what drains their time, from bill payments to content distribution to client onboarding. They build systems that remove daily decisions. This frees up their mind for bigger moves. If you spend all your time on low-value tasks, you'll never break through. But if you automate the small stuff and focus your energy on high-value creation, your income naturally starts rising. You stop feeling busy and start becoming productive in ways that actually move the needle. Another area where people miss out is pricing. They undervalue themselves. They charge too little. They're afraid to ask for more. But here's the truth. If you want to grow your income, you must raise your standards. You must deliver more value and charge accordingly. You must understand your worth in the marketplace and stop settling for scraps. This is not arrogance. This is accuracy. If you know what you bring to the table, price it with confidence. The 1% don't compete on being the cheapest, they compete on being the most effective. You also need to surround yourself with people who think bigger. If everyone around you believes more hours equal more money, that thinking will infect you. But if you spend time with people who talk about systems, investments, scale, and ownership, you'll start seeing new paths. Your environment either limits or expands you. Choose it wisely. Join groups. Read books. Follow people who've done what you want to do. Their mindset will challenge yours, and that's a good thing. Track your progress. This part matters. Set income goals not just for how much, but for how it's earned. Is it passive or active? Is it scalable or limited? Is it stressful or energizing? Income is not just about the number. It's about the freedom it gives you. More hours won't give you freedom, but smarter systems will. So measure the quality of your income, not just the quantity. You also need to build patience. Income growth without working more hours doesn't happen in a week. It takes time to set up, time to learn, time to fail, and adjust. But once it's working, the payoff is massive. You don't have to grind forever. You build it once, and it starts producing again and again. Maybe it's slow at first. $10 here. $50, but that proves it works. Then you optimize. Then you scale. Then you watch it grow. Don't fall into the trap of always being busy. Busyness is not success. It's often avoidance. It feels productive, but it's usually reactive. Step back and ask, where is my time going? What am I creating that lasts beyond today? If you're just surviving each day, you'll stay in survival mode. But if you carve out time to build, to think, to design systems, you move toward wealth. You have more options than you realize. We live in a world where technology, platforms, and tools allow anyone to earn in multiple ways. You can teach what you know. You can build something useful. You can partner with others. You can license your skills. The question is not can, the question is will I take it seriously enough to start? Don't wait for perfect timing. Start small. Start with what you know. Build something simple that helps one person, then help two, then 10. The compound effect is real. And once it starts working, you stop depending on longer hours. You start depending on smarter choices. Growing your income without adding hours is about choices. It's about priorities. It's about seeing yourself as more than just a worker. You're a builder, a designer, a creator. When you act like it, everything changes. You stop feeling trapped. You stop feeling tired. You start feeling powerful. Because now your income grows even when you rest, even when you think, even when you sleep. That's not a dream. That's the reward of doing it right. That's how the 1% operate. And that's what's waiting for you. Not someday, but the moment you stop working harder and start building smarter.
Chapter 4. Break your habit of spending to feel better. Spending to feel better is one of the most common traps people fall into, and it's one of the most dangerous habits for your financial future. You don't fix emotions with purchases, you don't solve stress with stuff, but many people do it anyway because it gives them a quick feeling of relief, a short-lived high, a moment of distraction, and that moment becomes addictive. It becomes part of how they cope. When they're sad, they shop. When they're bored, they spend. When they're insecure, they buy something that makes them feel important. but the feeling never lasts. The problem never goes away, and the damage grows in silence. One emotional swipe at a time. You've got to understand what's really happening when you spend to feel better. It's not about the item. It's about escaping something inside. It's about covering discomfort with pleasure. It's about hiding from the parts of your life that don't feel right. But you can't shop your way to peace. You can't buy your way to self-worth. And you definitely can't swipe your way out of pain. What you're really doing is numbing, the same way others use food, scrolling, or distractions. The spending is just your version. To break the habit, you need to slow down and notice the pattern. What emotion usually triggers the spending? Is it anxiety, loneliness, stress, envy? Pay attention to the moment right before the urge to spend hits. That moment holds the truth. If you can catch it, you can change it. That's where control begins. In the pause, the gap between the emotion and the action. Most emotional spending happens when you're disconnected from what really matters. You feel something's missing, and you reach for something external to fill it. A new outfit, a new gadget, a nice dinner, something to lift your mood. But the 1% don't reach for dopamine. They reach for discipline. They feel the same emotions as everyone else. But they've trained themselves not to run from them. They sit with discomfort. They ask better questions. They find healthier ways to release it. That's a skill, and you can build it too. You also need to remove the lies that justify emotional spending. The lie that says, you've had a tough week. You deserve this. The lie that says, it's just a small purchase. The lie that says, this will make me feel better. These phrases are signals. They're signs that you're about to choose short-term comfort over long-term progress. And every time you listen to those lies, your money habits weaken, not just financially, but mentally. Because every time you spend to feel better, you avoid growth. You avoid the deeper work that needs to be done. Growth starts when you face the emotion instead of covering it. Ask yourself, what am I actually feeling right now? Not what you want to buy, not what looks good, not what's on sale, but what's going on inside. Is it pressure? Is it insecurity? Is it self-doubt? Identify it. Put a name to it. Once you know what you're actually dealing with, the urge to spend starts to lose power. It's no longer a reaction. It becomes a choice. Next, build new habits that replace the old ones. You can't just stop emotional spending. You have to redirect it. When you feel the urge, do something different. Go for a walk. Write your thoughts. Call someone who listens. Clean your space. Work on a goal. Breathe. Interrupt the cycle. Because if you don't interrupt it, you'll keep repeating it. And every repetition makes the habit stronger. That's why most people can't stop. It's not a lack of willpower, it's a lack of awareness and replacement. You also need to create a new identity. Start seeing yourself as someone who is in control, someone who chooses wisely, someone who handles emotions with maturity, not money. Identity shapes behavior. If you keep saying, I'm just a spender, you'll act like one. But if you start saying, I'm someone who uses money with intention, your actions will follow. Speak it. Believe it. Reinforce it daily. Make it harder to spend without thinking. Remove saved cards from websites. Unsubscribe from marketing emails. Block shopping apps from your phone. Add friction to the process. Because emotional spending thrives on ease. The quicker the purchase, the less time your brain has to interrupt it. Slow it down. Make yourself work for it. The extra steps give you a chance to wake up and ask, do I really want this? Or am I just avoiding something? Set rules that protect your money. For example, a 24-hour rule. If you want something, write it down, wait a day, and see if the feeling remains. Often the desire fades, because it wasn't about the item, it was about the feeling, and feelings change. You don't need to act on all of them. Some just need space to pass. Start keeping track of emotional purchases. Every time you spend out of emotion, write it down. What you bought, how much it cost, what you were feeling, what happened after. Did it help? Or did you feel regret? This tracking isn't to shame you, it's to wake you up, to help you see the cost, not just financial, but emotional. Most people don't realize how much they're spending to escape feelings that never get resolved. And when you finally see it, you begin to take your power back. You also need to build a life you don't want to escape from. The more you live in alignment with your values, the less you'll need external things to feel good. Focus on your health. Build real relationships. Pursue goals that matter. Create progress that fulfills you. These things fill you in ways no purchase ever will. When your life is full, the urge to spend out of emotion fades. You no longer need quick hits of pleasure. You're grounded in something deeper. Practice gratitude, real daily gratitude. Write down what's good in your life. Focus on what you already have. Gratitude shifts your perspective. It reminds you that you're not lacking, that you don't need more stuff to feel complete, that your worth isn't tied to what you own. Gratitude creates peace, and peace kills the need to spend to feel better. Create a money goal that inspires you, something that excites you more than the next online order, a goal that makes you pause before spending. Maybe it's a debt-free life. Maybe it's a freedom fund. Maybe it's investing in something you believe in. Whatever it is, keep it visible. Write it down. Put it on your wall. Look at it daily. Because when your vision is clear, your decisions change. The desire to spend fades in the presence of a powerful goal. Talk to someone about your patterns. A mentor, a coach, a friend who understands. You don't have to do this alone. Emotional habits lose strength when they're exposed. When you talk about them, you learn, you grow, you stop feeling like you're the only one, and you get support that keeps you on track. Most people struggle silently, but silence keeps you stuck. Speak up. Get help. Move forward. Celebrate your progress. Every time you resist emotional spending, acknowledge it. Every time you sit with discomfort instead of covering it, be proud. Change happens in moments. Stack those moments. Build momentum. You don't need to be perfect. You just need to stay committed. To choose growth over comfort. To choose awareness over autopilot. That's how transformation begins. Understand that this is a process. Breaking emotional spending is not a switch. It's a shift, a daily choice, a deeper awareness, a new way of relating to your emotions and your money. And over time, it gets easier. You build strength, you build clarity, you build confidence, until one day you look back and realize, you don't spend to feel better anymore. You feel better because you're living with intention, discipline, and self-respect. That's what the 1% do. Not because they're special, but because they've learned to handle their emotions without running to the store. And you can too. You have the strength. You have the awareness. You just need to start using it. One choice at a time. One pause at a time. One better decision at a time. That's how you break the habit for good. That's how you build a life where money serves you, not controls you. That's how you take your power back and never give it away again.
Chapter 5. Build savings so you don't panic during emergencies. Emergencies don't ask for permission. They don't send a notice. They don't wait until you're ready. They show up when they want, and they test how prepared you are. If you don't have savings, you don't have protection. And when something goes wrong, you panic. You scramble. You borrow. You stress. And in that moment, all the pressure you thought you could handle becomes too much to carry. That's what a lack of savings does. It turns every small problem into a crisis. It takes your focus away from growth and throws you into survival mode. That's why the smartest decision you can make for your future peace of mind is to build savings before you need them. Most people avoid saving because they think they can't afford it.
They say they'll start later, when they make more, when things calm down. But the truth is, they don't have a savings problem, they have a priority problem. They treat savings like an extra, instead of a necessity. They treat it like a nice idea instead of a serious part of their life strategy. The 1% never make that mistake. They treat savings as protection, as insurance, as freedom. They know emergencies are part of life. They don't hope they won't happen. They plan for when they do. Saving isn't about how much you make. It's about what you choose to keep. You can earn a little and still build savings if you decide it matters. And you can earn a lot and still live one accident away from disaster if you don't. It's not about income. It's about mindset. If you respect your future, you save for it. If you value your peace, you build a cushion for when things go wrong. Because eventually they will. That's not negative thinking. That's wisdom. Start with a goal. Don't make it complicated. Just decide you'll set aside a small percentage of whatever you earn. 5%, 10%, even 2% is better than nothing. The number isn't what matters most. The habit does. Saving is a muscle. You build it by using it. The amount grows over time. But if you never start, nothing changes. And when an emergency hits, you're right back where you've always been, panicking, borrowing, and falling behind. Open a separate account for savings, not one you use every day, not one that's easy to dip into. Give it distance. Give it purpose. Call it your calm fund if you want, because that's what it gives you. Calm when everyone else is in chaos. Every time you add to it, remind yourself that you're building strength. You're creating security. You're choosing responsibility over regret. That feeling will carry you through the moments when you're tempted to skip saving for the month. It will remind you of who you're becoming. Cut out the belief that saving is only for rich people. That's false. Rich people became rich because they made smart decisions when they weren't yet rich. They saved when it was hard. They saved when others laughed. They saved when it didn't feel exciting. And because of that, they now have room to breathe. You can do the same, but it starts with changing how you see yourself. If you see yourself as someone who always struggles, you'll act that way. But if you decide you're someone who takes charge of your money and plans for the future, your actions begin to reflect that. Break the habit of using every dollar you earn. That habit keeps people broke. No matter how much comes in, it goes right back out. That's not freedom. That's a cycle. You work, you spend, you start over. But savings breaks that cycle. It gives you space. It gives you options. It gives you control. And control is something most people don't realize they've given up until it's too late. Don't think you need to build a huge savings account in one shot. That's not how it works. You build it slowly. You treat it like a commitment, like something sacred. You add to it regularly, even if it's small. Over time, those small deposits become something strong, something reliable, something you can lean on when life gets difficult. And when everyone else is panicking, you'll be calm. Not because life is perfect, but because you were prepared. Track your spending. Most people don't know where their money goes. And because of that, they believe they have no room to save. But the truth is, if you tracked every dollar, you'd find plenty of places where your money is being wasted. Small expenses that add up. Purchases that aren't necessary. Convenience that costs too much. You don't need to live like a monk. You just need to stop pretending there's no room for change. Be honest. Be clear. And make decisions that reflect the life you say you want. Start seeing savings as a form of power. When you have money saved, you don't need to say yes to every opportunity. You can say no. You can pause. You can think clearly. That's what power is. Not loud, not aggressive, but calm, thoughtful, steady. Most people don't live that way. They live one bill away from breakdown. But you don't have to. You can build something different. One saving decision at a time. It's not about fear. It's about wisdom. It's about looking ahead and realizing that your future self will thank you for every dollar you saved. Every time you said no to something you didn't need. Every time you prioritized peace over pleasure. That version of you, stronger, more stable, more secure, is built by the choices you make today. Teach yourself to feel good about saving. Most people only feel good when they're spending. That mindset keeps them poor. But you can train your brain to find pride in saving, to feel strong when you add to your account, to celebrate progress. It takes intention, but it works. Eventually, you'll find more satisfaction in watching your balance grow than you ever did from buying another thing you didn't need. If you have debt, that's okay. You can still say, you don't have to choose one or the other. You can pay down debt and build a small savings buffer at the same time. In fact, having savings can prevent you from falling deeper into debt during the next emergency. That's what most people miss. They pay off everything, leave nothing in savings, and then a flat tire or a medical bill wipes them out again. Balance your strategy. Protect your progress. Make saving automatic. Remove the emotion. Don't wait until the end of the month to see what's left. Pay yourself first. Set up a transfer that moves money as soon as you're paid. Treat it like a bill. A non-negotiable. Because your future is not optional. Your peace is not optional. And your stability is worth protecting. Create a plan for emergencies. Know what kind of savings you need. 3 months of expenses, 6 months. Start with 1 month. That's a strong goal. If you can cover your basic needs for one full month, without income, you've already built something most people never do. And from there, you keep going. Month by month. Progress by progress. Review your savings every week. Not to stress, but to stay aware. Awareness creates responsibility. It keeps you engaged. It reminds you of what you're building. Don't ignore it. Don't hide from it. Stay connected. Let that number represent your effort, your discipline, your commitment to living with strength, instead of stress. You're not weak for being unprepared in the past. But you will stay stuck if you don't decide to change now. You have what it takes to build saving. You have what it takes to live with peace. But peace doesn't come from wishing. It comes from action. Small daily, consistent action. When the next emergency shows up, and it will, imagine the difference between reaching for a credit card in panic and calmly handling it with money you've saved. That difference is everything. It's the difference between feeling out of control and feeling capable, between reacting and responding, between chaos and calm. Build savings, so you can stop living on edge, so you can sleep at night, so you can face problems without fear, so you can give yourself room to breathe. Life is full of unknowns, but your response doesn't have to be panic. It can be strength. It can be calm. It can be confidence. Built one saving habit at a time. That's how the 1% live. Not because emergencies don't happen to them, but because they've planned for it. You can do the same. Not later. Now. With whatever you have. Wherever you. Because the moment you decide your future matters more than your impulses, you stop living in fear. And you start living with control. That's the mindset. That's the path. That's the difference.
Chapter 6. Stop buying things just to impress other people. Buying things just to impress other people is one of the fastest ways to stay broke, unhappy, and stuck in a life that doesn't reflect who you really are. You spend money you can't afford,
on things you don't truly want, to get approval from people who aren't even paying attention. It's exhausting. It's empty. And worst of all, it keeps you from building anything real. It distracts you from what matters. Because the more you chase image, the more you lose control. Your decisions become about appearances instead of values. And when that happens, your financial life becomes a show, not a strategy. You don't need to prove anything to anyone. Not with your car, not with your clothes, not with your phone, not with how big your house is or where you vacation. None of that brings lasting respect. People might notice for a moment, but they move on quickly, and when they do, you're left holding the bill, the payment, the stress, the regret. All for a moment of attention that didn't build you up, it broke you down. This habit is rooted in insecurity. When you're not confident in who you are, you try to buy confidence. You try to create it through what people see. You say, "Look at my life," hoping they'll admire it. But deep down, you know it's a performance. That's why it never feels good for long. That's why the high doesn't last. Because approval that's based on stuff is shallow, it fades quickly, and you're stuck needing the next thing, and the next, and the next. It becomes a cycle, not of growth, but of validation. You have to ask yourself who you're really trying to impress. Is it strangers online? Is it friends who are doing the same thing? Is it family members who once doubted you? Most of the time, the people you're trying to impress aren't thinking about you at all. They're too busy worrying about their own lives. That's the truth. Most people are not watching your every move. You are not being judged the way you think you are. And the sooner you realize that, the sooner you can stop living for other people's reactions. Real peace comes from living according to your values, not their expectations. Real wealth is built quietly, not for show. The 1% don't waste money proving they have money. They don't need to. They're focused on freedom, not attention. They care about assets, not applause. They don't buy things to be noticed. They buy things to make life easier, smarter, more efficient. And often, they don't buy at all. They wait. They think. They move with purpose, not pressure. If you want to build financial strength, you have to let go of the need to be seen as successful, because most people who look successful are faking it. They're leasing the car, they're drowning in debt, they're living paycheck to paycheck behind the scene. Don't copy a life you wouldn't trade places with when the lights go off. Don't follow someone's lifestyle if you wouldn't want their stress. Your life is yours. You don't owe anyone a show. You don't have to keep up with anyone. Your clothes don't define you. Your phone doesn't define you. Your apartment doesn't define you. Your job title doesn't define you. Who you are, how you live, how you treat others, how you spend your time, that's what matters. That's what builds self-respect. And the stronger your self-respect is, the less you'll feel the need to prove anything to anyone. Stop letting social pressure shape your spending. Just because everyone around you is upgrading, doesn't mean you should. Just because they're posting about it, doesn't mean it's wise. Just because someone has something, doesn't mean they're happy. Half the people posting about success are deeply stressed behind the scenes. They're living for reactions, not results. Don't let their noise become your standard. Build a financial life that gives you peace, not performance. Choose clothes that are comfortable and clean, not just expensive. Choose a car that's reliable and affordable, not flashy. Choose a phone that does what you need, not what everyone else wants. Choose to live below your means, even when you could spend more. That's power. That's control. That's how real wealth begins. Take time to define what success means to you, not what you were told, not what others expect, but what actually matters to you. Is it time freedom? Is it zero debt? Is it being able to help your family? Is it waking up without financial stress? These are the things worth building. These are the wins that matter. When you know what matters, you stop wasting money chasing things that don't. Challenge yourself to go a month without buying anything, just to impress someone. Notice the difference in how you feel. Notice how much money you keep. Notice how much pressure lifts when you're not trying to perform for others. That pressure, it's been draining you. It's been pulling you away from your real goals. The moment you stop feeding it, you take your power back. Focus on investments, not image. Image fades. Investments grow. Put your money where it matters, into your emergency fund, into your future, into your skills, into something that gives you returns, not reactions, because reactions don't build wealth. Applause doesn't create security, but smart money moves do. Quiet money decisions build loud results later. But you have to be patient and you have to be focused. Stop explaining your choices. You don't need to justify living simply. You don't need to explain why you didn't buy the latest thing. Your goals don't need permission. Your peace doesn't need validation. You're allowed to live on your own terms, even if others don't understand. And often, the people who mock your discipline now will envy your freedom later. Stay focused. Think long term. What matters more? Their approval today, or your freedom 5 years from now? What matters more? A new phone every year, or being debt-free for life? What matters more? Weekend shopping sprees, or waking up with no financial anxiety? You know the answer, but you need to act on it. You need to choose the future you want over the attention you don't need. Teach yourself to be proud of simple living, proud of discipline, proud of walking away from trends. That's not weakness. That's wisdom. That's strength. That's maturity. And the more you walk that path, the stronger you become, not just financially, but mentally. You stop being swayed by opinions. You start leading yourself. That's real confidence. Pay attention to your triggers. What makes you want to buy to impress? Is it scrolling on social media? Is it being around certain people? Is it boredom? Recognize the pattern. Interrupt it. Replace it. If social media feeds comparison, take a break. If certain environments pressure you, step away. You don't need to prove yourself in places that don't care about your real growth. Choose people who don't care what you wear, what you drive, or how much your shoes cost. Choose people who care about your character, your values, your consistency. Those are the people who last, and those are the people you can be real with. You'll never feel free if you surround yourself with people who judge based on status. Build a circle that respects who you are, not what you have. Track the money you've spent trying to impress others. Add it up. See how much has gone toward things that didn't matter weeks later. Let that number wake you up. Let it remind you of what you could have built instead. It's not about guilt. It's about awareness. You can't change what you don't acknowledge. And once you see the truth, you can start making better decisions. Be patient with yourself. If this habit has been part of your life for years, it won't vanish overnight, but it can change. You can change one choice at a time, one smarter decision after another, and over time the pressure to impress fades. It's replaced by pride in how you're living, calm in how you're building, and clarity in where you're going. Every time you choose peace over performance, you grow. Every time you choose purpose over pressure, you win. Every time you walk away from something that doesn't serve your goals, you prove to yourself that you're not controlled by opinions. That's freedom. And that's how the 1% live. Not for others, but for their own growth. You don't need to be noticed to be successful. You don't need to be loud to be strong. You just need to be clear, consistent, and committed to building a life that reflects your real values. That's how you win. Quietly, powerfully, on your terms. That's how you stop buying things just to impress and start building a life that actually means something.
Chapter 7. Use money to build freedom, not fake happiness. Money is a tool. That's all it is. But how you use that tool shapes your entire life. Most people use money to chase a feeling. They try to buy excitement, comfort,
admiration, entertainment, distraction. They use it to escape the parts of life they don't want to face. And for a moment, it works. A new purchase, a weekend trip, a shiny object, a quick reward. It feels good, until it doesn't, because the happiness they're buying isn't real. It fades. It wears off. And when it's gone, they need another fix. That cycle keeps people stuck. They earn to spend. They spend to feel. They feel empty. So they earn again, just to do it all over. That isn't freedom. That's dependence wearing a smile. You can choose something different. You can use money to build a life that doesn't collapse when the feelings fade. You can use money to buy time, options, peace, growth, and space. That's what freedom really means. Not waking up wondering how you'll make it through the month. Not choosing jobs out of desperation. Not saying yes when you want to say no. Freedom means control. It means your life belongs to you. It means money serves you, not the other way around. To build freedom, you have to stop trading your future for a feeling. Every time you spend to feel better, you lose a bit of power. Every time you buy something to look good, instead of live well, you trade something permanent for something temporary. And every time you chase happiness through things, you avoid the work that actually leads to a meaningful life. Real happiness is built, not bought. It comes from knowing you're doing what matters, from becoming someone you respect, from living in alignment with your values, not just your desires. The people who build lasting success aren't chasing dopamine. They're designing their lives. They're thinking ahead. They're making sacrifices that create space, not stress. They're not focused on today's thrill. They're focused on tomorrow's peace. They ask different questions. Will this help me grow? Will this bring me closer to my goals? Will this decision serve me a year from now? That's how they use money. Thoughtfully, purposefully. And because of that, they build freedom while others are still chasing feeling. You don't need to be rich to start doing this. You just need to shift your priorities. Instead of asking what you can afford, ask what's worth it. Instead of asking what looks good, ask what feels right. Instead of asking what will impress others, ask what will free you. These questions are simple but powerful. They change how you see every dollar, and once you start seeing money differently, you start living differently. Freedom starts with small decisions. Saving instead of spending. Saying no to what you don't need. Choosing simplicity over clutter. Investing in things that grow instead of things that fade. Building a cushion so you don't panic. Building a plan so you're not guessing. These decisions aren't glamorous. They don't bring applause, but they bring strength. And that strength multiplies. Quietly. Steadily. Day by day. One of the biggest lies people believe is that happiness lives in a lifestyle, a bigger house, a nicer car, a more expensive watch. They think if they can just upgrade everything, they'll finally feel good enough. But the truth is, if you don't feel fulfilled with less, more will only mask the problem. It won't fix it. And it'll come with a price: debt, stress, pressure, comparison. The 1% don't fall for that. They don't use money to impress. They use money to escape dependence, to buy time, to build leverage, to create choices. You need to define what freedom looks like for you. Maybe it's the ability to take a break without guilt. Maybe it's waking up without a pile of debt. Maybe it's working on something you care about instead of chasing a paycheck. Whatever it is, write it down. Make it clear. Because when you know what you're working toward, it's easier to make smart money decisions. The temptation to buy fake happiness weakens when you're building something real. Learn to delay the impulse. When you want to buy something, pause. Ask yourself if it's solving a real problem or just giving you a hit of excitement. Ask yourself how you'll feel about the decision in a month. Most of the time, the excitement fades. And you're left wondering why you did it. But when you delay, you give yourself a chance to decide with wisdom, not emotion. And that one moment of patience can change everything. Start replacing short-term satisfaction with long-term reward. Saving money doesn't always feel exciting, but it creates peace. Investing in yourself doesn't always feel urgent, but it changes your future. Paying off debt doesn't always feel fun, but it brings strength. These are the trades you need to make. Not for applause, not for attention, for freedom. Because freedom is quiet. It doesn't demand to be seen, but it's felt every day when your life is truly yours. Be honest with yourself about your current habits. Are you using money to avoid something? To distract from stress? To cope with boredom? These patterns are common, but they don't have to stay. You can build new ones. Habits that heal instead of hide. Actions that build instead of bury. Every time you choose intention over impulse, you shift. You move toward freedom. You move toward peace. Build systems that make smart money choices automatic. Set up automatic savings. Automate your bills. Plan your spending. The more decisions you take out of emotion and put into structure, the better your outcomes. You don't need willpower every day. You need a system that supports your goals. And that system doesn't have to be complex. It just has to be consistent. Be careful of the people you follow. If your environment celebrates spending but never talks about building, you'll be pulled into the same trap. If your feed is full of people showing off, but never showing the cost, you'll start thinking that's normal. But it's not. The loudest people often have the weakest foundation. Choose mentors who talk about peace, not just possessions. Choose examples who live with purpose, not just performance. Teach yourself to find joy in progress, in building, in becoming. When you see your savings grow, celebrate. When you invest in something smart, feel proud. When you walk away from a pointless purchase, acknowledge the strength it took. These are the moments that matter. These are the habits that shape your future. Real growth feels different. It's quieter, but it's deeper. And once you start experiencing it, you won't want to go back. You don't need more things. You need more clarity, more courage, more consistency. These things don't come from a store. They come from within. From deciding that your life is more valuable than what others think, that your future is more important than today's thrill, that your freedom is worth protecting at all costs. Money can bring peace. It can bring choices. It can bring stability. But only if you use it that way. If you waste it chasing fake highs, it will become your master. But if you use it with purpose, it becomes your servant. It supports your life instead of stealing it. That's the shift you need to make. From using money to feel better now, to using money to build a better life long term. You're not here to impress anyone. You're here to grow, to build, to live on your own terms. Every dollar you use with that mindset brings you closer. Every decision you make with that level of clarity gives you more control. You don't have to live like everyone else. You don't have to buy what they buy. You don't have to prove anything. Just build what matters and let your money reflect your values, not your insecurities. Freedom isn't about escaping work. It's about choosing it. It's about working on what you love, not what you're forced into. It's about saying yes, because you want to, not because you need to. That kind of life is possible. But it's only possible if you stop wasting money chasing feelings and start using it to create options. You won't get there by accident. You'll get there by accident. You'll get there by deciding what matters most and aligning every financial decision with that vision. You'll get there by staying consistent, even when it's not exciting. You'll get there by trusting the process, even when it's slow. That's how real wealth is built. That's how lasting peace is created. Use your money to build something solid. Something that supports your goals. Something that gives you room to breathe. Fake happiness fades.
Freedom stays. Choose wisely. Choose intentionally. Choose the path that leads to real control over your life. Because that's the life you deserve, and it's waiting for the moment you start using your money to serve your future, not your feeling.
Chapter 8. Know exactly how much you owe right now. If you don't know how much you owe, then you're not really in control of your money. You might feel like you're managing things. You might feel like you're getting by. But if the total number isn't clear, you're operating in the dark, and that darkness keeps you stuck. It creates stress in the background of your life, even when you're pretending things are fine. It shows up in your decisions, your mood, your sleep. You might not notice it every day, but it's there. Hiding from the truth doesn't protect you. It just delays the pain. That's why the first real step to financial freedom is facing the full picture. Knowing how much you owe is not about judgment. It's about clarity. Clarity gives you the power to make a plan, to take steps forward, to stop living in fear of a number you haven't faced yet. Too many people are afraid to look at their debt because they think it will overwhelm them. But avoiding it doesn't make it smaller. It only gives it more power over your life. The longer you avoid it, the more control it takes. And the only way to take back that control is to get honest completely, fully, unapologetically honest. You start by writing it all down. Every single debt, credit cards, student loans, personal loans, medical bills, car payments, anything with a balance. Don't round it. Don't guess. Log in to the accounts. Get the real numbers. Write them down next to the interest rate, the minimum payment, and the due date. Don't skip a single one. The goal is total awareness. Not partial. Not vague. Full awareness. Because until you know exactly what you owe, you can't build a real plan. You're just guessing. And guessing keeps you stuck. It might feel uncomfortable. That's normal. It might be more than you thought. That's okay. What matters is that now you know. And once you know, you're no longer powerless. The worst feeling comes from the unknown. When you're unsure, you carry a quiet anxiety that follows you everywhere. But when you finally face the numbers, that anxiety starts to lose its grip. You might not have the solution yet, but you've taken the first step, truth. And truth is always the beginning of freedom. Now that you have the full picture, you can start organizing it. Sort the debts by size, or by interest rate, or by which ones are causing the most pressure. Choose the method that fits your situation. The goal isn't to fix everything overnight. The goal is to take one step at a time, from a place of clarity, not confusion. When you're clear, your decisions get better. You stop wasting money. You stop forgetting due dates. You stop reacting. You start planning. Most people underestimate how much stress their debt is causing. They think it's manageable because they're making minimum payments. But carrying debt you don't fully understand creates mental noise. It makes you second-guess yourself. It makes you delay goals. It makes you feel like you're falling behind, even if your income is growing. That's the cost of not knowing. It doesn't just affect your money. It affects your mind. Start thinking differently about your debt. It's not your identity. It's a number. It's not permanent. It's a current snapshot. And just like any problem, it gets better when you bring focus, action, and consistency. You don't need to be ashamed of your past decisions. You just need to stop avoiding the consequences. The 1% don't ignore problems. They face them early. That's why they stay ahead. It's not because they're perfect. It's because they take responsibility fast and fully. Be specific with your plan. Decide how much you can put toward your debt each month. Even if it's small, commit to it. Automatic payments. No skipping. No waiting until you feel ready. Progress doesn't wait for motivation. It waits for decisions. You've already taken the hardest step by facing the truth. Now keep the momentum going. Pay more than the minimum.
even if it's just a few extra dollars. Every extra payment shortens the timeline. Every bit of progress rebuilds your confidence. Don't ignore the emotional side of this either. Debt can feel heavy. It can feel like failure, like you messed up, like you're behind. But emotions can lie. The truth is, you're not behind. You're just waking up. You're doing the work that most people never do. You're facing the numbers. You're choosing clarity over comfort. That's courage. And that courage will carry you further than shame ever will. Don't look backward. Don't blame yourself. Just keep moving forward. One clear step at a time. You also need to communicate if your debt involves others. If you share finances with someone, be open about the numbers. Hiding debt creates more stress. It builds walls. It destroys trust. But being honest builds unity. It turns your financial life into a shared mission, instead of a silent burden. You don't have to fix everything alone, but you do have to take ownership. That's where the respect begins. Take time every week to check in with your numbers. Debt doesn't disappear because you wrote it down once. It changes month by month. Stay connected. Track your payments. Celebrate the progress. You might be surprised how fast things improve when you stay focused. Even small wins matter. Every balance going down is a sign that your effort is working, and that feedback keeps you engaged. If you want to stay out of debt once you've paid it off, the clarity you build now is your armor. People fall back into debt because they stop paying attention. They think they're done learning. But freedom requires maintenance. It requires vigilance. The habits that get you out are the habits that keep you out. Keep tracking. Keep reviewing. Keep your eyes open. That's how the 1% avoid going backward. Use tools if you need them. Budget apps, spreadsheets, debt trackers, whatever helps you stay organized. Don't rely on memory. Don't assume you'll remember every due date. Systems protect progress, and the stronger your system, the less room there is for stress to creep back in. You want peace of mind, not panic. And peace comes from structure. Understand your debt, not just emotionally, but mathematically. Know how much interest you're paying. Know which debts are costing you the most over time. This knowledge isn't just helpful. It's essential, because without it, you're making random payments, without a strategy. But with it, you can optimize. You can focus on the high-interest ones first, or you can build momentum by paying off the smallest ones. Both approaches work, but pick one. Commit and stay consistent. This is your moment to stop drifting and start leading. Stop letting bills surprise you. Stop letting balances pile up. Stop living in confusion about your money. You don't have to live like that. You can know exactly where you stand at all times, and that knowledge will calm your mind, sharpen your decisions, and empower your future. When you know what you owe, you can measure progress. You can set real goals. You can create timeline. You can visualize being debt-free. That clarity drives motivation, and that motivation fuels discipline. This is how financial transformation begins. Not with a raise, not with luck, but with responsibility, with facing the facts and deciding they will no longer control you. The best part is, the moment you write down everything you owe, you're already ahead of most people. You've already taken control. You've already started the process. And the more honest you are with your numbers, the more confident you'll become in your ability to manage. The number might be big. That's okay. You're not afraid of the number anymore, because now you're looking at it. You're addressing it, and you're changing it. You don't need perfection. You need truth, and you've got that now. So use it. Build a plan. Track the changes. Make the payments. Stay aware. That's how you take control of your money. That's how you change your relationship with debt. And that's how you move forward. Clearly. Confidently. One smart decision at a time. You know what you owe. Now you get to decide what happens next.
Chapter 9. Get serious about learning what rich people do. If you want to change your financial future, you have to stop guessing and start learning what rich people actually do. Not what you assume they do. Not what they show on social media. What they actually do behind closed doors, with their thinking, their habits, their systems, their decisions. That knowledge is available, but most people never take it seriously. They treat wealth like a mystery or a dream. They think rich people are lucky, or born into it, or just different. So they never study it. They never observe it. They never copy it. They keep living the same way, hoping one day things will change. But things don't change just because you want them to. They change when you start doing what works, and the people who win financially are doing things you're not doing yet. Getting serious about learning how rich people operate means treating wealth like a skill, not an accident. It means dropping the excuses. You can't keep saying money is evil or rich people are selfish. Those beliefs keep you broke. They keep you stuck in a mindset that pushes wealth away instead of attracting it. Rich people are not better than you. They're just more educated about money. They've made different choices. They've paid attention longer. They've built patterns that produce results. And if you want those results, you need to study the patterns. Look at how they spend their time. Rich people value learning. They read. They study markets. They research trends. They take courses. They hire coaches. They ask questions. They don't assume they know everything. They invest in knowing more. They surround themselves with people who know more. They treat knowledge like capital, because it is. What you know affects every decision you make, every investment, every risk, every dollar spent. And when you know better, you do better. Start paying attention to what rich people read, what they talk about, what they track. They don't just watch entertainment all day. They don't scroll through distractions for hours. They focus on growth. They focus on data. They learn how business works, how money moves, how wealth is built and protected. They take that seriously, because they know information compounds just like money does. The more you learn, the sharper you become, and sharp minds make sharp decisions. Study how they use their money. Rich people don't just make more, they manage better. They give every dollar a job. They invest early. They automate systems. They protect their income. They live below their means longer than necessary. They value control over image. They delay gratification. They don't spend to look successful. They spend to create leverage. That's a mindset shift most people never make. They think earning more will fix everything. But if you don't learn how to manage money, earning more will just multiply your mistake. Watch how they build multiple streams of income. Rich people rarely depend on one paycheck. They create income from investments, businesses, assets, royalties, partnerships. They build things that pay them long after the work is done. And they start small. They test. They adjust. They scale. They don't wait until it's perfect. They take action. And they learn from results. If you're depending on one job to fund your entire life, you're always one decision away from disaster. Wealthy people don't take that risk. They build layers, safety nets, long-term plays. Observe their mindset around failure. Rich people don't run from failure. They expect it. They see it as feedback. They learn faster because they're willing to mess up, then adjust and move forward. Most people avoid failure so much that they never take real action. But action is how you learn. You won't figure everything out by reading alone. You've got to move, experiment, build something, fall, stand up, improve. The ones who build wealth long term are the ones who can take a hit and keep going. Notice how they protect their time. Rich people don't waste hours on things that don't move their life forward. They're intentional with who they talk to, what they consume, where they go, how they spend their energy. They say no often. They focus hard. They keep distractions out. That discipline creates space for thinking, planning, building. Without that, everything becomes noise. And when you live in noise, you can't hear your next move. You can't see your path clearly. Learning from rich people means studying how they create space to lead themselves. Take a deeper look at how they view money emotionally.
Rich people don't fear money. They don't worship it either. They respect it. They treat it as a tool. They separate emotion from decision making. They don't spend because they're sad or bored or pressured. They spend because it fits the plan, because it creates a return, because it aligns with their long-term strategy. That kind of clarity doesn't happen by accident. It's learned, practiced, repeated. And you can do the same if you take it seriously enough to study it. Don't get distracted by surface-level advice. Look deeper. Look at what's behind the advice. What habits built it? What beliefs shaped it? What principles drive it? Rich people follow systems. They build habits. They track progress. They reflect often. They don't live on luck. They live by design. And everything they do has a reason behind it. That's what you need to understand. The why behind their choices. Once you understand that, you can start making your own powerful choices. Not just copying what they do, but adopting how they think. Build your personal education plan. Don't wait for school. Don't wait for someone to tell you what to learn. Create your own path. Study books on wealth. Learn about investing. Understand cash flow. Study taxes. Watch how markets move. Ask people who are ahead of you what they wish they'd known earlier. Be curious. Be relentless. Don't settle for surface knowledge. Go deep. Break it down. Connect the dots. And most of all, apply what you learn. Because knowledge without action is just noise. Get around people who live different. If everyone around you thinks budgeting is boring, saving is impossible, investing is risky, and rich people are greedy, you need new voices. You need mentors, not just friends. You need builders, not just talkers. You need examples, not just opinion. Because who you spend time with shapes what you believe is normal. And if you want to grow, you need a new normal. One where wealth building isn't strange. It's expected. Don't wait until you're earning more to start learning more. Learn now. The habits you build today decide what happens when more money does come. Most people think their financial problems are because they don't make enough. But when they finally earn more, nothing changes. Because the problem wasn't income. It was ignorance. It was lack of structure, lack of discipline, lack of knowledge. Fix that now. Study now. Apply now. That's how you make the most of every raise, every opportunity, every increase. Take notes. Keep a journal of what you're learning. Write down insights, lessons, strategies. Track what's working. Review what didn't. Make your growth visible. When you treat learning like a mission, you start seeing everything differently. You stop feeling stuck. You start seeing doors. You stop blaming others. You start building systems. That's the difference between people who wish for wealth and people who work for it. Be obsessed with improving, not in a frantic way, in a focused way. One new insight a day, one smarter choice a week, one mistake analyzed and corrected. That's how the 1% think. That's how they operate. They live in growth. They live in clarity, and they never stop learning. Not when they're broke, not when they're comfortable, not even when they're rich. Because they know wealth isn't just something you get, it's something you maintain. And maintenance requires learning that never stops. You don't need permission to study well. You don't need to wait until you're older, smarter, or more experienced. You can start now, right where you are, with what you have. You can get serious today, not someday, not when it's urgent. Now, because the sooner you learn, the faster you grow, and the faster you grow, the more opportunities you create. That's how wealth begins, not with a check, but with a mindset. This is the difference between staying where you are and stepping into who you're meant to become. It's not magic. It's not mystery. It's discipline. And the first discipline is learning what works from people who have already done it. Stop assuming. Start studying. Stop guessing. Start applying. Get serious about learning what rich people do, and soon, you'll stop wondering how they got there. You'll start living what they've lived, because you'll finally understand what it takes. And more importantly, you'll be willing to do it.
Chapter 10. Act rich by making smart money moves. Daily. You don't have to be rich to start acting like someone who is. In fact, most people who become rich did so because they built the habit of making smart money moves every single day, long before they had wealth. Acting rich isn't about faking success. It's not about showing off, spending big, or pretending you have more than you do. It's about thinking wisely, deciding with clarity, and treating your financial future like something that matters every day. It's about practicing the behaviors that lead to real wealth, not just waiting until you have more money to start doing things differently. Every day, you're making choices with your money. Some of those choices bring you closer to freedom, and some pull you further away. The small decisions count. The coffee you buy out of habit, the subscription you forgot to cancel, the impulse purchase you justify as a reward. It all adds up, and if you keep telling yourself that small things don't matter, you'll keep living with small progress. But when you start treating every dollar like it's important, you shift into a new level of discipline. That's what acting rich really means. It's not loud, it's not flashy, it's calculated, it's intentional. People often think they'll change once they have more money. They say they'll get organized when their income grows. They'll start saving when they make enough. They'll invest when things settle down. But if you're not making smart moves now, you won't magically start when you have more. Habits build wealth, not wishes. And habits are built in the present. If you waste money today, you'll likely waste more tomorrow. But if you're focused, responsible, and intentional now, that mindset will scale with your income. Smart money moves are simple but powerful. Paying yourself first instead of spending first. Tracking where your money goes. Living below your means without complaining. Choosing to save even when it's inconvenient. Saying no to what doesn't serve your goals. These aren't glamorous moves. They don't get applause, but they build something stronger than approval. They build security. And once you have security, you start to feel something most people never do. Peace. Acting rich means having the courage to plan long term. It means choosing a strong future over a comfortable now. It means not needing validation through things. It means knowing your worth isn't in your clothes, your car, or your gadgets. It's in how you think, how you manage, how you lead yourself. The real power comes from being the kind of person who could upgrade their life, but doesn't need to right away. That restraint builds wealth. That patience creates space. That discipline forms the foundation. Get used to thinking before you spend. Ask yourself, is this helping or hurting? Is this creating freedom or pressure? Am I buying this because it aligns with my values or because I'm reacting to stress or boredom? These questions will sharpen your mind. They'll teach you how to delay gratification. Not because you can't afford something, but because you know there's something better to build. That's how the wealthy think. They don't chase feelings. They follow a plan. Create systems that support smart behavior. Automate your savings. Schedule your budget check-ins. Set reminders to review your financial goals. Make it harder to make bad decisions by putting good systems in place. When you don't rely on willpower, you free up mental energy, and that energy can be used to create more opportunities. A smart money system doesn't take long to set up, but it pays off every single day by keeping you aligned. Start measuring progress daily, even if it feels slow. A dollar saved, a small debt payment, a wise decision avoided, a wasteful one. These are real wins. Stack those wins. Track them. See how they accumulate over time. Acting rich means you're not waiting for a big break. You're building the break, brick by brick, decision by decision. And the more consistent you are, the faster things shift. Cut what doesn't matter. Remove the noise. Stop spending on things that have no lasting value. You're not missing out. You're leveling up. Most people stay broke trying to keep up with things they don't even truly enjoy. But you don't need that. You need progress. You need clarity. You need results that show up in your bank account, your mindset, and your confidence. Every time you choose a smart money move over a quick pleasure, you're training your future to be stronger than your past. Remind yourself daily that your goal is freedom,
That means waking up with options. That means not needing to stay in a job you hate. That means being able to invest in what matters. Give without stress. And live with intention. All of that is built on the back of smart decisions. Repeated over and over. Not once. Not when it's convenient. Every day. Whether you feel like it or not. There's power in simplicity. Don't overcomplicate it. Spend less than you earn. Save a portion of every paycheck. Keep your fixed expenses low. Avoid debt. Unless it builds something valuable. Track your numbers so you're never guessing. These are the habits that make people wealthy. And you don't need millions to start them. You just need commitment. You just need the decision to act like the person you want to become. Stay aware of your environment. If the people around you mock financial discipline, you need better conversations. If your feed is full of consumption and comparison, you need a new input. Surround yourself with ideas, people and examples that encourage smart living, that normalize smart choices, that remind you that real wealth is quiet, consistent and strategic, and that being different now is the reason you'll be free later. Don't let boredom be your excuse. A lot of people make bad money choices just because they're bored. They shop to pass time. They buy because they're tired. They spend because they feel stuck. But acting rich means facing boredom and choosing to build anyway. Read a book. Plan your goals. Work on a skill. Do something productive. The most financially successful people use boring moments to prepare, to create, to grow. Track your net worth. Even if it's small, watch the number. Learn from it. Let it motivate you. Every time you bring clarity to your money, you remove confusion from your life. And with that clarity comes better actions. It helps you stop lying to yourself. Helps you stop saying I think I'm doing okay. And start knowing exactly where you stand. That self-honesty is what separates dreamers from doers. Focus on being better. Not perfect. You don't need to get everything right, but you do need to be intentional. One smart move a day compounds into something powerful. One aligned decision after another builds a life that most people only wish for. Acting rich is about making wealth building a lifestyle, not a someday project. Use your energy to create, not just consume. Build things. Start something. Learn how to make money grow. Don't just work for money. Learn how to make money work for you. That's a move rich people make daily. They focus on assets, not just income. They focus on ownership, not just spending. That's what you need to bring into your daily routine. Ask yourself, what am I building today? What am I learning? What systems am I improving? Keep your mind sharp. Study finance. Understand taxes. Learn how businesses scale. Learn what leverage means. This is the language of freedom. Most people avoid it because it's unfamiliar. But once you get it, you start making decisions with power. You stop being confused and start being clear. And clarity leads to smarter moves. Every single time, use today as proof. You don't have to wait to be wealthy to act wealthy. You just have to start with what you have, where you are. Be the person who plans ahead, who saves without being told, who tracks without stress, who learns without needing motivation. That's how you build something real. That's how you take control. And when the world tells you to relax, to loosen up, to treat yourself when you can't afford it, remember why you started. Remember that acting rich isn't about pretending, it's about preparing. Every smart move you make today protects you tomorrow. Every smart habit you build now becomes the reason you get to live on your own terms later. So keep stacking good choices. Keep ignoring the noise. Keep leading yourself when no one's watching. That's how you win. Not with a lucky break. Not with a secret shortcut. But with simple, consistent, smart money moves. Repeated daily. No matter what. That's the real definition of acting rich, and that's exactly how you become it.